Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com, and it's always freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have another woman as a guest who is going to share parts of her amazing story. And I'm just so delighted that she's a guest with us today. So, hey, Ginhani, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm excited about this conversation and get to learn a little bit more about you, and I'm sure our listeners will be very inspired. So to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself, who you are, pardon me, I have a cough today, who you are, where you're from, and what keeps you busy?
Yes. So I'm Ginhani Ratnayake. I'm 31 years old, and I'm from Sri Lanka. I'm a doctor, so I'm working at one of the hospitals here, and I'm doing a consultancy training program currently.
Wow. Okay. I did not know you were a doctor, so that is amazing. How did you get drawn into medicine?
So from a young age, I've always wanted to be a doctor. And it just felt like the most favorite thing to do from my school days.
Yeah. So, being a doctor obviously requires a lot of communication with colleagues and coworkers and patients, of course. Why did you get into a field where there's so much communication expected as a woman who stutters?
Yeah. So from the time I was young, I've always I like to look at the challenges as opportunities. So I've always tried to, push the boundary and, just to go for my goal and not, let the stuttering define me. So even though now, I still, face some fears on a daily basis from time to time, I have these stumbles, and it's more so with my seniors than when I speak to the patients. But even though there is some struggle there, I just find that, I don't want to live my life thinking, that I was held back because of my stammer.
Wow. Kudos to you. That is wonderful, because as you know, many, many, many people, men and women who stutter, limit themselves, believing that they're not capable of, doing jobs that require communication. So you're so right. We cannot, define ourselves by our stutter, and we have to pursue our passion, which you've clearly had. So what field of medicine are you in? What do you practice?
So currently I'm doing neurology is the subspecialty that I'm specializing in at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Is that what you hope to do once you've completed the the fields of study? Is that what you want to do long term?
Yes. So with my background of the stammering and with several other family issues which had to do with this field, I got interested in it, and so I wanted to specialize in it and possibly maybe, you know, help to contribute to finding something that could be of benefit in the future.
Oh, that is so wonderful. So what was it like for you in medical school with a stammer? Were you well received by peers and professors?
So with my peers, it was all fine because my stammer was not like very visible. It was mainly during the exam stresses that it tended to be more visible, but I guess I got through them. Like, I tend to focus more on my work and work really hard, and more than the others, I guess. And so I guess I kind of compensated in some way.
So how do you manage that? Like, do you disclose? Do you tell people, you know, that you're going to see again? Like, do you tell people, oh, hey, I stammer and I'm okay with it? Or, you know, do you choose to disclose and bring it up?
Up until recently, I tended to hide the fact that I had a stammer because I had this shame and this guilt, which is there subconsciously. But now I'm trying to be more open. So I'm trying to speak to my colleagues more and just let them know, you know, I have this stammer, and that's why it was difficult for me to say that at that time. Mm-hmm. So they seem to be quite understanding, and it's something that I still have to work on, mm-hmm. the acceptance part of it.
Yeah, that's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Particularly as women, because obviously society and conditioning, you know, women have often been considered the inferior gender. So to already have that and then stammer as well, there are a lot of underlying feelings of shame and guilt. And I hid my stuttering myself for, you know, 30 years, and it was a horrible way to live because I felt so fake. So do you feel that when you bring your whole self to work, do you feel more authentic when you're open and when you tell people that you stammer?
Yeah, I mean, like, when I am focused on my work, my stammer usually doesn't get much in the way. So it hasn't been like a big problem in that way. But sometimes I do feel the fear, and I do feel some shame coming up. So at those times, I try to make a disclosure, or I try to use some techniques here and there as well.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like for you growing up as a child? Was your family supportive, and did you have speech therapy?
Yeah, so I started stammering at the age of about 12 years. So in my childhood, at first I didn't have a stammer, but I'm not sure like when it actually started. But after that, I did experience like a lot of shame and difficulty fitting in with my peers. And so I tended to use that time and, you know, study and just focus on my exams and, you know, to follow my passion. But at the same time, I do feel that I missed out on many social, functions, which I would have otherwise, taken part in had I been able to speak more clearly. And as for my family, at first they didn't know like what this was, because no one in my family had a stammer. And so I have been for speech therapy, but they weren't effective when I was young. And it was only recently that I joined a program that was that told me to be more open of my stammer and to teach about the acceptance component of it, which I think is a really big part of it, and which I'm still working on.
Yeah, I can appreciate that, because I honestly think that, stammering, stuttering, it's a lifelong journey. And, for me, I feel very confident at this stage in my life that I'm okay. And this is who I am, and this is how I present myself to the world. But like you, sometimes I get those moments like, oh God, like I just stuttered really bad, and what do they think, And then I kind of beat myself up a little bit for thinking that, because supposedly I've overcome that, So really, it's a lifelong journey, I believe. In your country, how is stammering perceived?
Stammering here is, I think it's still quite stigmatized. And people have these preconceived notions, I guess, of people who stammer. They tend to, have these preconceived notions. But so I guess those type of preconceived notions are there in the whole, in several countries. Even in India, it's also there. And I guess by doing these podcasts and the other works that we do, we can help to bring awareness so that more people will know about this condition, and that someone else who's listening to this can also gain some inspiration and can go for their dreams as well.
Absolutely. And certainly you're an inspiring person to do that, because to choose a profession that many people who stutter, stammer would not, that really shows your confidence and willingness to come out of your comfort zone, and clearly that's what we want everybody who stutters to do. But it's hard because society does not always accept us, as you just shared in your country and in India. I've met a few people from India through TISA. Really the self-help organization and the support that people in India get from each other is, I believe, stronger and better than the therapeutic resources that are not available in India. So you mentioned that you joined a program. Is it a therapy program that you're referring to?
Yes, it's a therapy program which I joined about 3 years ago, called the McGuire program.
Okay, I'm familiar with that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, no, tell us about it though. Tell the listeners about it. because I think a lot of people have heard of it, but don't really know what it is and how it works.
Yeah. So this program teaches an approach which is quite different from the traditional treatment options, where they teach about the psychological weapons and the physical weapons, because the reason why this tends to perpetuate is because of our subconscious shame and guilt. And so we need to have some tools which can combat that as well, and not just slowing down or taking a deep breath, which is not enough. And right. It's, yeah, and the support there is quite good as well. So we can call up coaches and get some help. But having said that, it's still going to be a lifelong process and something that we're going to have to work on continuously. And there's no magic pill that we still can take. I mean, we can take to, you know, to get rid of it. So, yeah.
Right. I think a lot of people who stammer keep hoping for that, you know, magic pill that we can just take and it will go away. So what did you come away from the McGuire program? What has it helped you with most?
So I guess just after the program, I was quite fluent in my speech, and I was very surprised, but it lasted for some time, and I was not able to do the techniques consistently at first. And even now, with my busy schedule, I struggle to keep up with the techniques. Consistently, but I have noticed results. So it's about putting in the daily work. And I guess if we do put in the work, there will be results. And it's just about getting down that fear and just to start to see speaking as a sport. And I guess acceptance is a big part of it. And there is so much of subconscious fear and shame and guilt that we need to start to acknowledge, and we need to have techniques to deal with those as well.
That's fine. So what are some of those tech techniques that you've learned? And you say, like, you have to work on.
Yeah. So I guess acceptance is a big part of it, where we're told to make a disclosure and also to use techniques where we showcase our stammer openly and voluntarily. So it's under our control, as opposed to being out of our control, which is the scary part, I guess. So it's about using techniques to showcase our stuttering more openly, so that our fear in turn will go down. Mm-hmm. And also to have a full and proper breath so that we can have more free-flowing speech. Mm-hmm. But it's something that is difficult to do. But it requires some commitment on our part. But I have seen people who have had a very big change in their speech from following the techniques really well.
That's wonderful. I've heard from others who have been involved with the McGuire program that coastal breathing is one of the techniques that is suggested and learned. Is that true? And what do you think about that?
Yeah, coastal breathing is one of the main components of the technique, where we're supposed to take a full and deep breath, and that in turn can help us to overcome some of the blocks, I guess, to a certain extent. So it's something that we need to practice so many times that it becomes kind of like an unconscious habit that we can do even in the feared situations. So it would carry over to the feared situations.
That makes, you know, perfect sense. And it's a way to desensitize yourself, essentially, right? Like if you go out there and face the fear, you know, sooner or later that fear less lessens and you're more comfortable in your skin and with who you are. So I think it's wonderful to have support like that. And you mentioned that, you know, you said you've been involved for 3 years and that there's like ongoing support. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the support system is such that there are coaches from all over the world, and we can contact them at different times and to get their feedback on our technique, as well as on any psychological support that we may need if we're feeling down or depressed. So it has been of great help for me in the past as well. Just to give that extra support, just to get us back on track with our technique.
Yeah. Now, have you served as a coach or mentor for other people in the program?
No. Unfortunately, I've not been very consistent with my techniques and with the program, but I'm hoping now to focus more on my speech and more on acceptance and actually using the techniques all the time so that I can bring down the fear and to be more free with speaking. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully later on, I might be able to help others in the same way as well.
Yeah, wonderful. And your comment on the techniques, and you've not been as consistent as you may have liked. I did a short period of speech therapy myself for about a year. That was all I could take of it because I didn't feel comfortable with being taught to change my speech. I didn't need that. I wanted to just gain that acceptance and, you know, that self-belief that I'm okay the way that I am. So what I found in some of the techniques that were suggested was, like, you know, again, full and easy breathing, slowing your pace down. And I found it took more energy and more work to do that than it did to just stutter, you know? So for me, it's easier because I'm kind of a fast talker. So it's easier for me to just speak. Because if I begin to think about, okay, what am I going to do? Like when I block, you know, what am I going to do? You know, and to me, it kind of takes away from the intimacy of the conversation. If I'm thinking about how to say this word instead of just saying it, you know, does that make sense to you?
Yes, because I've also come across similar problem where when we come across the normal conversations that we have, I also tend to speak fast. And so when we're being conscious of how we're saying our speech, it can be difficult to keep monitoring the conversation. But I guess it requires some work to slow down our speech. And I think slowing down the speech does have benefits if we can do it.
Yeah, I think when we slow down our speech and have more of a cadence, you know, it may be easier for listeners not just to listen and not focus on the stuttering, but just normal, you know, people that don't stutter, if they talk, you know, a little slower, it makes it easier for the listener to process, you know. And I think that goes for, you know, everybody, stutterers or not. You know, like sometimes I've been told that I'm a deliberate a speaker because I choose my words carefully. And sometimes that is the result of the old hiding behavior. So I will maybe choose a word that I know I won't stutter on, you know, and that's being deliberate. But that, just as you said, that's a good skill and a good quality to have anytime that you're speaking, and particularly when you're public speaking. So you talked about wanting to raise awareness about stuttering, and yesterday, October 22nd, was International Stuttering Awareness Day, and I know that a lot of people and countries are like taking the whole week to recognize and celebrate international stuttering, because it is a global community that we're in. So what is it that you wish people better understood about stuttering?
Well, I guess that I just want to say that stammering is not something that reflects a person's IQ, and much of the negative conditioning that comes to us is from our childhood itself and from the society. So if parents always tend to shun speech which has a stammer, and to always congratulate people only if they speak fluently, and to not shush them whenever they have a stammer, then the child tends to develop this negative conditioning towards the stammer, and that in turn causes so much of pain and shame and guilt. So I guess if we can, you know, just tell parents just to accept the child for who they are and to not try to control it so much, then maybe they might be able to come out a bit easier, and there won't be such negativity associated with the stammering itself. So I guess that's something I want to, you know, shed light on.
Yeah, that's so important. Do any of the McGuire participants, you know, like yourself or others, do you get that opportunity to talk with parents and share those ideals?
I actually spoke with one parent on one previous course, and I told him, the same thing I just said now. And he thanked me for it, because he did not have much insight into how it feels like to be a person who stammers. And his son was just 13 years of age. Mm-hmm. So I guess, so it is helpful for parents to know it, I guess.
Yeah. And you're so right about, you know, a child can easily internalize the feelings and perceptions that parents are laying on them. You know, like I too felt like my parents were ashamed of me. So even at a very early age, at 5 or 6 years old, you can internalize that. And that stays with you for a very long time, as we've talked. So I'm just, I'm really pleased to learn that, you know, you are interested in spreading awareness and educating people about stuttering. And this podcast hopefully will do that. Hopefully listeners will, you know, gain a little more understanding that, hey, this is who we are and we're as capable as the next person. Right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Now, one more question before we start winding down. In the McGuire program, are there an equal number of women who participate?
In our region, unfortunately, it's still quite low. I guess because people tend to hide when they're females, they tend to hide and not go for treatment. Whereas in other countries, that may not be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that because even in other programs, I mean, just statistically, they tell us that 1% of the population stutters, and 4 out of 5 people who stutter are men, and only 1 of 5 are women. So like we're basically the minority within a minority, and it can be tough to you know, amplify our voices and have women who stutter, you know, be able to take up as much space as men do. And I've been to, you know, support meetings and even when I was in therapy, like therapy groups, and there'd be like 12 men and me, you know? So it was just, it's kind of uncomfortable actually to like be the only woman in a group of men, because I've always found that men don't really want to talk about stuttering. They just want to fix it. Whereas women, I think we're more okay with talking about the feelings, and I think talking about the feelings is what helps us gain that acceptance. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Yes.
So, what message would you give to a young woman who is just starting her journey with stuttering? What would you tell that younger person?
I'd like to tell that younger person just to follow your dreams and, you know, not let the stammer hold you back. And it's how you see yourself that is most important rather than how society sees you. And if you can build up that good self-image, then no matter what anyone says to you or thinks about you, you know, you can still go forward and follow your dreams.
You know, that is such a great message to end our conversation on. Anybody that stammers, but particularly women, just need to internalize that message that we are worthy, we are enough, and that we deserve the same space as men who stutter. So thank you so much for being a guest today and being so open. Truly, your story is going to inspire a lot of people.
Thank you for having me, and I hope people who listen to this podcast can gain some inspiration from this.
I have no doubt that they will. Thank you again. And this has been A Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.